Notice that whenever we have an outdoor service, we make sure the reader and the prayer are the same size. So we don't have to adjust that. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together on this day, we ask you to encounter us where we need to be met. Help us to feel a sense of your presence and peace in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. How's that thing go? The best laid plans, something, you know? What is it? The mice come in, okay. Well, of mice and men, okay. I just know that first part, the best laid plans. And what I mean by that is that I can spend all week preparing a sermon for you about a certain thing, and then yesterday happens. And suddenly, what was going to be a relaxing Saturday after I'd gotten back from seeing some of my friends and playing golf with them turned into something totally different. And so the reality is, it is not lost on me at all that as I watched the events that happened in Charlottesville yesterday, that I know those guys who were the neo-Nazis and who were white supremacists and were perpetrating that kind of evil. I know them. I played sports with them. I've been to see Hank Williams Jr. in concert with them. I have been a part of my life spent here in the beautiful South, and that was not unfamiliar to me. I know that as a white male, standing up here, and I have to admit that not only do I know those guys, I've probably laughed at their jokes. I've probably dismissed them maybe as, man, you're crazy. But I know them. And I confess that to you today. All I know how to do today is confess that I've laughed at too many racist jokes, that I have dismissed things that were clearly wrong and evil, that I've taken advantage of the natural privilege that I have, that I've been given. And so today, I felt that while I wanted to preach a message about what God can do when you offer so little, because I believe that's at the heart of what the message today is that Jesus tells us about this feeding of the 5,000. We can argue all day long about miracles. We can argue all day long about, well, it really wasn't a miracle. It's just people saw what he did and everybody started sharing their food. I don't care what it is. To me, the heart of the story is that Jesus takes what meager little bit of fish and loaves that we have to offer in our lives, and he can make miracles happen. And so today, the only thing I can offer to you and the only thing I can offer to this world and God is my own meager racist behavior that I seek not to live into in my life, but that comes out whenever and silently or whatever. I offer that in confession and pray that I can only be better. That I can hear the voice of those who have an alternative view of the world than me. That I can grow to live and love like Jesus. All I have for you today is my confession of my own sin and how I've contributed in whatever meager way to allowing these kind of things to continue to happen. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And I repent. There is someone among us today who was there yesterday. And I think you need to hear from her.
Can you hear me? Jesus said in the beginning of his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's one of the first things he said when he started his ministry. Isn't that interesting? I saw the kingdom of heaven come near yesterday. It was there in Charlottesville without a doubt. The kingdom of heaven came near and was present in Charlottesville, Virginia, yesterday, in the middle of racial strife. In the middle of it all, the kingdom of heaven was present. Let me tell you, let me witness, and let me repent. Let me repent as a white woman whose brothers were out there committing awful, awful, awful acts of evil and hatred. For anybody who's here who has brown skin and knows what I'm talking about, and there aren't very many of you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry on behalf of all the races. I am sorry for the evil that has been perpetrated over these last more than 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. I'm sorry for all the lives lost to police brutality, so many people of color. I am sorry. I am sorry. And the kingdom of God has come near and is here with us today. I gathered yesterday with other clergy who were called by our bishop, Bishop James Mauney, who was just here last week, inviting us to come and participate in a peaceful march in protest of the awful, awful white supremacists that gathered there yesterday as well. And it was peaceful. And so clergy from our synod came together, and clergy from our brothers and sisters in the Episcopalian Church, in the United Methodist Church, in the Presbyterian Church, in the African American Church, in the Baptist Church, all came together. Most of us, not people of color, to support our brothers and sisters in protesting what was happening yesterday in Charlottesville. And the kingdom of heaven came near. I didn't go down Friday night. I was there yesterday. And on Friday night, as many of you probably know, there were white supremacists walking through on the grounds of the University of Virginia with torches, tiki torches, surrounding the president's statue, Thomas Jefferson, who founded the University of Virginia. And there were some counter protesters there, and we heard from some of them. And we also heard, I heard from mostly African Americans. We gathered together and we marched to a park. Not the park where the rally for the white supremacists was going to be held, but we marched to another park where somebody had gotten us a permit so we could be there and be there in safety. What a blessing. And we chanted, we said, white supremacists not welcome here. No hate, no fear. White supremacists not welcome here. No hate. No fear. And then we heard from mostly African Americans, thank God, most of whom are way more intelligent than I'll ever be, most of whom have PhDs, most of whom have been working to fight against racism most of their lives, most of them young and beautiful and powerful. And I was humbled. I was humbled to hear their stories. I was humbled to hear the power in their words. I was humbled to hear their call telling us, white America, wake up. Wake up. Or it's all going to burn around you. Quit your sleepwalking and join us. And I heard the story of the worship service that took place on Friday night. And I heard that the kingdom of God had come near, that it was the one time that this African American man had experienced truly unconditional love, where everybody, no matter gender, no matter sexual orientation, no matter color, no matter creed, no matter even religious affiliation, was welcome. And he knew it. And he said, I have never experienced that before until Friday night. And I heard words of thanks. I heard words of thanks coming out of African American mouths, thanking us for being there. Oh my goodness. oh my goodness, what a humbling experience. And then the clergy were invited to march to a United Methodist church, where soon after we got there, it was put on lockdown for fear of what was happening outside. And I felt protected, privileged, and a little coddled. I felt like a priestly person whose life mattered just a little bit more than maybe everybody who else went to the front to actually confront the rally going on. We were encouraged, however, to stay in groups and to be safe. And if we hadn't received nonviolent training in nonviolent resistance, not to go and confront those there in the rally. The whole intent was to be nonviolent. Unfortunately, there are some counter protesters there who were there to be violent. But most of us were there in nonviolent ways, not wanting to add anything but love to the process. And so what I know is that I wore this t-shirt over my clergy shirt. And what you don't see is it says, love heals. But the other part of this slogan from an organization called Thistle Farms, their slogan is, love heals every body. Not everybody, every body. Love heals every body. And what I came away from is there has to be another way. There has to be another way than this violence on both sides. There's got to be another way, and it has to do with love. And Jesus shows us how to do it today in our gospel lesson. There's another way. There's always another way. It's the way of compassion. Did you see what he did? The disciples say, we don't have anything to give these people to eat. Are you crazy? Are you crazy, Jesus? No, he's not crazy. He knows third way. He knows third way. And he just took those little 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and he blessed them and they became abundant. There is third way here too. There is third way, and it's love heals everybody. Even the racists, even the white supremacists, love heals everybody. Nobody is left out of God's kingdom or beloved community. Nobody. Love heals everybody. That is third way. And it starts with your body today. It starts with you taking that body, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior inside you, and saying, yes, love is healing me today. Love heals. Love begins to heal me and some of my bigoted and racist and uneducated beliefs that I know because I'm white. And you can't help it. Because you're white, you've whether you know it or not, you've taken into yourself some kind of racial attitude toward somebody else. You've taken in some kind of bias toward people not like you. I know I have, and it sucks. But it's confession, and it's forgiveness. And it's allowing your body to be healed so you can stand with those bodies that aren't like yours, perhaps, different colors, different abilities, different genders, different sexual orientations. But you can stand with those bodies because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Yeah. Amen.
I picked our sermon song just because I like it. That's the main reason I picked it, because I like it. And that's the benefit of being the person who picks all the music. We sing the things Dave Young likes. But I picked it, and how appropriate that in the midst of a strife-filled reality that we're getting ready to sing about Jesus being the center. And love heals everybody when Jesus is in the center. I invite us to stand for this one.